Tzifanya Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Devar Hashem Asher Haya El Tzifanya. The word of Hashem that came to Tzifanya ben Cushi ben Gedalia, son of Cushi, grandson as a result of Gedalia, ben Amarya, the great grandson of Amarya, ben Chizkiah, the son of Chizkiyahu, Bimei Yoshiyahu ben Amon, Melech Yehuda, who prophesied in the days of Yoshiyahu ben Amon, king of Yehuda. So Tzifanya then comes from the royal family. He is a fourth generation down from Chizkiyahu, Melech Yehuda. His great-grandfather, Amarya, was likely a younger brother of King Menashe, who took over the throne. Amarya was younger. Chizkiyahu was 42, based on some fancy math done by Ibn Ezra and others, when he had Menashe, and then he died at only 54. Menashe was 12 when Chizkiyahu died. So Amarya was younger, and then survived all of, we don't know if he survived, but he was around during the long 55-year reign of King Menashe. And then his Amarya's son, Gedalia, grandson Cushi, and then finally great-grandson Tzifanya. So Rav Mendel Hirsch says that he suggests that Tzifanya's nevuah came in the second half of the 31-year reign of King Yoshiyahu HaMelech, after the king had accomplished what he calls the great restoration, the tshuva of his people. And we're going to see that because in the first couple of psukim already, he talks about destroying the remainder of Baal and the names of the idolatrous priests who worshipped Baal. And the fact that it's only the remainder implies that Klal Yisrael was already getting rid of Baal worship, which would only have come during the tshuva period that happened during the reign of Yoshiyahu. But unfortunately, what we also know is that they, as Remendel says, they put on an outward show of correct behavior, but in their hearts they denied any punishment by God. They put all their trust in their gold and silver instead. And we'll see that in the Nebuah of Tzifanya. So Tzifanya, then, is actually talking to us about the hypocrisy of people who are outwardly pious, but who are inwardly disbelievers, and who only put their trust in their own money, in their own material wealth, and not in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And I hope that in our time we don't have people like that among us, but unfortunately we know in the world there are an awful lot of people who say the right things, but who believe something very, very different underneath. Unfortunately also, that Tzifanya does not have any impact. Of course, the prophet and his words were powerless to affect any real betterment within the apostate majority and the ruling circles, as had been foretold to the king right at the beginning of the prophetess Hulda in Sefer Melachim, where she said that it's not going to work. And so as various Rabbanim have said, I think it's Rabbi Beryl One, he's who I usually quote, but I heard a wonderful shiur where one of the, maybe it's Rabbi Yitzchak Et Shalom, that the batting average of almost all Nevi'im was 0-0-0. Because they try so hard to get the people to change, but change is very hard, and most people don't want to do it. So, Perek Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that if they got rid of everything that involved sin and temptation, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't necessarily have to destroy everything. But he's going to execute judgment on the people who are one thing with their lips, but something else deep in their hearts. Then, Perek Beis is a summons to a deluded people to turn back and repent while there is still time. Judgment is imminent. It's going to come on other nations, and now's the time to save it. However, Perek Gimel, Yerushalayim, the city, foolish and senseless as a simple dove in her thoughtless pursuit of wickedness, takes no warning to this judgment. So Tzifanya is actually a somewhat depressing nebuah, if only to show how people are determined to wreck their own lives, even when they know better, even when they're told better. So Pasuk Beis, after we know the lineage of Tzifanya, which we don't know in many of the other Nevi'im of Treyaser, Asof Asaf Kol, I will totally destroy everything, Me'al Paneho Adama, from on the face of the earth, Num Hashem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Absolute, total destruction of everything. And Radak says the Aretz means the Eretz Yisrael. And we know, we've said it before, Eretz Yisrael has a sensitive stomach and it spits out the sin that is within. Gimel, asaf adam uvehema. I will totally destroy, and asaf means complete and utter destruction, both man and beast. Asaf of hashamayim udegei hayam. I will destroy the birds of the heavens and the fish of the seas. Now, Radak says that's possibly an exaggeration, because we know that the natural world isn't going to pay a total price for what man does in a terrible way. And not only that, but if you're talking about wastelands, usually birds don't frequent wastelands. They go looking for settled places where they can find seeds and fruits and what they need to eat and shelter. But the fish also usually go in waters near settled areas because they'll find more of what they need and then we'll catch them. And the stumbling blocks with the wicked. So not only are the wicked people going to be destroyed, but even their michshal, the stumbling blocks that they stumble upon, there's going to be more trouble than they know what to do with. And I'll cut off man from the face of the earth, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So bad times are coming. So Tefaniah mentions the wicked dying first, but then those who are not completely wicked will be exiled from the land, just as Radak mentioned earlier, the idea that the fish and the fowl leave the land when there's no people there, when there's no settlement there. So Ibn Ezra says that these wicked people are the people referred to above, because they fall on their stumbling blocks and they do nothing but sin, they're going to be cut off from the face of the earth.